You must be fair. Training a police dog is physical, and the dog must be corrected to understand he's done something you didn't want him to do. But often, the problem is not that the dog is ignoring the handler. It's that the handler is not being clear with the dog. If you begin an obedience session with your dog and take a small step with your right foot, how the hell is the dog supposed to know you're moving? Yet, because he's on a short lead with a pinch collar, he'll get automatically corrected by not being at your left knee while you're walking away. That's not fair, and dogs have a good understanding of fairness. They'll try to cooperate to avoid getting corrected, but to build real trust, the dog must know that you're doing your best to communicate with him. We march around like this for half an hour. People passing by slow down to stare at the police officer leading the lanky surfer around with a leather leash. The other canine handler for our department, Mike Clater, shows up in his canine car. I can hear him chuckling at the sight of us. Clater and I are partners, but not equal ones, because he's far past all this beginner stuff. His dog is trained, and they are a certified working team. I envy him, especially when he lets his dog out to run. Ignatz is a beautiful 3-year-old German shepherd. He's lighter in color than Bragg, almost golden, and his eyes are brilliant hazel, which gives him a strangely human expression. When he lopes across the grass, I can't take my eyes off him. He has the most graceful gait I've ever seen, like a racehorse. His obedience is solid, too. He makes an abrupt U-turn when Clater recalls him, sprinting back to his partner and coming to a stop directly in front. Clater tells Ignatz to heel, and the dog whips around to sit at his handler's left side, and Clater attaches the leather lead, and they go back to the car. I want to be able to do that. It's going to take a little longer for you two, Ted says to me. Ignatz already had a lot of obedience before he arrived. Bragg hasn't had any. I guess we'll learn it together. Ted says that in the end it might even make us a better team. I feel encouraged until he adds, it also might make you enemies. He laughs. And I'm not sure if he's serious, but before I can determine that, his smile vanishes, and he says, get your dog. Bragg has been watching all this marching around from the back of our canine car. I pop the trunk and get out the pinch collar, with metal prongs that face inward towards the dog's neck. The idea of it is to simulate a correction from a higher-ranking dog. A nip on the neck to communicate disapproval. I don't like this collar much. It looks like a medieval torture device. Ted doesn't care what I think, and shows me how to put it on Bragg, tight and just below the ears. Bragg walks beside me, shaking his head to try to loosen the collar. I go to the middle of the grass and tell him to sit. Bragg ignores me, looking at something far more interesting a half a mile away. Ted yells, forward, and for some reason I start on the wrong foot. We continue, and it gets worse. Bragg thinks I'm turning right and cuts in front of me, and I stumble over him, and he side-hops away, bewildered by my clumsiness. We march on. It's a disaster. My corrections are too late. I'm sweating and my face is burning with embarrassment because nothing is worse than looking like an idiot in a police uniform. Bragg is clearly miserable. We're the worst dog and handler team in the history of humans and working dogs. Ted finally tells me to put Bragg away, and the dog pulls me to the car, eager for our time together to be over. I go to take off his collar as I open the rear door, and Bragg jumps in with my fingers caught beneath the prongs. I finally extract my hand, and when I slam the door and turn around, Ted stands behind me. Harder than it looks, isn't it? he says cheerfully. I frown, examining my throbbing fingers. You'll get better, Ted promises. We can't get any worse. It's been